And we love you, God. We love you with all our heart. We love you, God, with all our soul, might, and strength. Father, we thank you now. Help us, dear God, to display this love to the world, that we may show the world how you love us, that we may love them, to love our neighbors as ourselves. We thank you. We praise you now, God. Have your way in this place. Do it, Lord. Do it, God. Touch everybody in here today. Let us not be the same. Lord, burn off the things that need to be burnt off. Remove those things that need to be removed. But Lord God, we pray that you replenish and replace the things that we need in our life. Father, in Jesus' name, you told David and you allowed him to see that you would restore his soul. Restore our souls, God. Restore our souls. Replenish us, dear God. Replenish us. Give us strength again. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, God. And we'll wait on you. I'll wait on you, God. Because you said if we wait on you, that we'll mount up with wings of eagles. We'll run and not get weary. We would walk and not faint. And I trust that, God. I trust that, God. I trust you, Lord. I trust you, God. And I deem and call it well. Oh, God, all is well. All is well. All is well. All is well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Want to use for a thought, title, tag, topic to this message, grace to go on. Amen. Grace to go on. Amen. Amen. Are you here to love people like he said for you to do? And if you are, then why aren't we doing it? If your love never get tested, y'all with me? If your love never go through pain, if your love never is broken sometimes, that means that you really don't have, you really haven't had love. Because sometimes love will make you love somebody that's contrary. You love your children. Your mama loved you. Y'all hear me here. Love will make you do some of the strangest things. Love made Jesus die for people who would not even care to worship him one day a week. All right, okay. He said to buffet me, to wrap me. Look, the devil wrapping you inside your head. Every chance he get, when you look like you got some air to breathe, he knock you right back down. It's okay to be knocked down because you're not knocked out. The thing is to get back up and do the work of the Father. Oh, come on and say amen. He said, this came because it had a purpose. It was all God's allowing. It was all God's doing, just like it was in the book of Job. Satan can't make a move without God. When we say God is sovereign, that he's the owner of everything, it's true. The devil works for him too. Did you know that? I know you thought that the devil was just so rebellious that he could just do whatever he wanted to. No, God has to let him, because the Bible says in the book of Job that when the sons of God came to present themselves before God, Satan came too. And why did he come? Because he knew that's the employer. I got to go check in. Got to go punch the clock. But why did he come? Why did he come? He came because he needed permission for something. And God already knew what he wanted to do. That's why I said, where you been? Satan tried to lie. Well, I've been to and fro. You know, when you won't tell the whole truth, you know that's still a lie. He said, I've been to and fro the earth and seeking whom I may devour. But God says, Satan, have you considered Job? In other words, I know you've been by his house. Then the truth comes out. Satan said, well, I went by his house, but I couldn't get in there because you got a hedge all around him. I looked everywhere I could. I tried to slide under. I couldn't get in. I tried to go through a crack. There wasn't no cracks. I wish I had somebody in here. We got to understand here that God is in control. Tell somebody God's in control. I know you're in pain, but God is in control. what your thorn is. I don't know what your pain is. And we all have it, but you can't get mad with me when I don't understand yours. And sometimes that's what we do. We get mad because somebody don't understand my pain. Your thorn may be under your foot to keep you from walking right. Mine may be in my hip, keep me from sitting right. Oh, y'all don't hear me in here. Somebody may have a thorn in their mind, keep them from thinking right. But the problem is we all have pain. And since we all have pain, we all need the same thing. What's that? Grace. We need grace to go on. Okay. He says, so I don't get exalted, so I don't get puffed up in pride. Think everybody beneath me or think I'm more than I should be thinking of myself. And sometime in our pain, we start thinking that we're more than we ought to be. Because somebody didn't come pull our thorn out when we expected them to. I can't pull out what God put in. He can do things and man cannot undo them. Y'all don't hear me. He can do whatever he wants to do. And don't look at me to be God to make something happen because I can't do it. And I don't want you thinking that because I know what he do to idols. Okay, all right. He said, for this thing, look at this here. Paul, just like us. He said, for this thing, besought the Lord thrice, three times, that it might depart from me. I asked the Lord three times. Now, the thing about Paul is that Paul had a lot of faith. How do I know? Because he only asked three times. Because we're going to ask, please, sir, have mercy. Now, Lord, your poor, weak, and humble. We try every trick or every prayer, your poor, weak, and humble servant. We try that one. Then we say, I'm coming to your daddy, God. You know, we try everything. We try to twist it. Well, maybe it means something. Maybe I ain't calling the name right. Then we start looking for a different name. Y'all don't hear me here. Oh, I'm coming to you most high. You know, we try to try a different name. I'm gonna leave that part alone. I was gonna go somewhere. We try a different religion. That ain't work for me right here. Let's go to a different church. Let's try a different preacher. Let's try a different book. But no book can help you with your pain, only grace. He says, I besought the Lord three times. We would have prayed over and over. I don't know about you, but I've done it. I'm going to admit, I've asked God over and over about something. God do this, God do that. And I try to tell him how to do it. Do you know God don't need you to tell him how to do it? The Bible, listen to this, and this is why I rest my case now. I try to at least. He says, to everything there's a purpose. There's a season to everything and a purpose, right? If there's a season and a purpose to everything, then you got to understand that since God put seasons here, we got to understand what our purpose is in the season. And so in other words, that means that if I have to have pain for this season, there's a purpose for the pain, but the season comes to an end. All right. I don't know how long your season is, but your season has purpose. And whatever happens in that season had a purpose. I go sometime to this place in Alabama, and it's called Enterprise. Some of you may know where it is. But they have, in the middle of town, they have this statue, this big angelic statue. And she's holding something. And right at the top, it's a boll weevil. A boll weevil. And I'm like, a boll weevil? You know, do they worship the boll weevil around here? Well, the road that circles the city called the boll weevil circle. Boll weevil everything. And so I found out, you know, I love to dig in history. So I found out that the reason why they dedicated that boll weevil statue and all of that is because they used to plant cotton and stuff like that, tobacco. And while they planted it, one year, the boll weevil came in and ate up all the crop. Oh, what pain, what a famine. But then they started planting peanuts. And they made a fortune off of peanuts. And they said, even though our crops were eaten up that year, that season, it was painful. But it was a blessing because we never would have known that we should plant peanuts. See, sometimes we don't know what happens in the season, why it happens in the season, but it has purpose. And the purpose was, we're going to quit planting stuff that's going to grow above the ground. Let's put it under the ground. Somebody, God gave them an idea. Okay, let me go on here. Y'all look like you're getting bored, and I'm sorry. He said, for this thing I sought the Lord three times, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is enough. The promise here in the pain, look at this. He says that my grace is enough for you, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. When he says this, he's telling Paul, he says, I give you grace to go on. I'm not going to take away the pain. I'm not going to stop Satan from buffeting you. I know he hit you, but you're still standing. Come on and say amen. I know it's hard, but you're still praying. Come on and say amen. I know that it's tiring, and I know you get fed up with it, but you're still preaching. I wish I had people in here that hear me. He said, look, I'm giving you grace. He said, my grace is sufficient. My grace is enough that even though you're sick, you still worship. Even though it's hard, you still help people. Lord, have mercy here. I want you to understand that he gives us grace to go on. And in the time of our trouble, in the time of our pain, even though I feel it in my body, even though I feel it in my heart, even though my mind seems to be disengaged, he still gives me grace to go on. Grace. He said, my grace is sufficient. And when we start talking about sufficiency, it's the word archeo, which means... my grace is enough to ward it off. My grace is enough to, is proper enough to suffice, to give you unfailing strength. So what God is saying to us is that my grace is enough to give you strength to be able to make it through your trial, to be able to get you through this pain. I know Satan come. Now, I don't know if it was because everywhere Paul went, somebody was there to try to accuse him of something. Somebody was there to call him a liar to his face while he preached. And you know, we ain't good at when people come in our face with stuff. Come on and say it, man. I don't know if it was that. I don't know if he had an ailment in his body. I don't know if he said, look, I'm healing everybody else, and why can't I get healed? Come on and say, man. I don't know what it was, but Satan came to him with a message. Now, the thing about it is we got to get to a place where we start to ignore his message. Oh, yeah, he always got something to say about you. But what he's saying about you is not true, and it won't come to pass. That's why you got to be careful. You got to be leery of people who want to say things about you and give you a prophecy, a prophelive, or whatever, a prophetic message, as they call it, whatever it is. But we got to be careful about that and know what God has already said to us and let them come with a confirmation of what God said. That's why we have to have a relationship with God ourselves. Because you can be easily deceived. And what if it's the devil? What if that message is not of God? Y'all still with me here? I know what God has told me in my time of prayer. So if somebody confirms what I'm saying, what God is saying to me, it makes me more stronger. It gives me more peace. It allows me to make me want to run on, because I know even though it's hard, God has given me somebody to give me a little encouragement, because there's light at the end. He said, strength is made perfect in weakness. And what we have to understand is God's strength. When he gives us grace, even though we go through trials, even though it's hard on us, he said that my strength is perfect. That means it's enough strength. It's the right amount. It's just right for what I'm going through. He gives me just what I need at the time I need it. Oh, come on and say amen. He said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And the problem with many of us, we are too strong in our finances. We're too strong in our minds. We're too strong in our heart. We got too much pride. And God sometimes have to weaken us so he can strengthen us. Come on and say amen. Quit saying what you ain't. I bet I won't. Then God bend you a little bit. He let Satan wrap you a little bit. And then you look around, you say, I don't know how I got here. Yeah, then I tell you how you got here. Your mouth got you there. Y'all still with me? A messenger of Satan could be anything, anybody. Notice the Bible says that, the Bible also tells us that, that Satan can come as an angel of light. Amen. Appear to be right when totally wrong. Amen. Appear to be illuminating when really darkness. Amen. Y'all still with me here? Amen. And so you got to know the difference between a strobe light and a real light. You know the strobe light. You know what I'm talking. Y'all know that. When I used to go out to the club, there was what they call a strobe light. And sometimes a strobe light make you look like you could dance when you really couldn't. All you had to do is get out there and bounce. A strobe light would make a girl look better than she did. You know about the strobe light. The strobe light, when you get outside, you say, I know women. Huh? That illusion, that's right. A strobe light. We have to understand that Satan will come in a strobe light. He make it look better than it really is. He make it look like it's working better than it really is. Come on. And then when you finally come into the light, you start to say, what in the world did I get myself into? Y'all hear me here? Satan comes as an angel of light. And he comes to deceive you. You know, if you were not important, he wouldn't even bother your life. Think on that for a minute. If you got pain from Satan, if you got a struggle from him, that means that he thought enough to put you through something. So that means that you have purpose. And the reason he is here is to try to alter the purpose of God. But what he don't know is that God's purpose shall prevail. Many are the devices or the intents of a man's heart, but it's God's will or his counsel that shall stand. That's what the scriptures say. So it doesn't matter what you think is right and what Satan put in your heart to think is right, but it's what God says is going to prevail. Y'all still with me now? He says, look, he says, most gladly will I therefore glory in my infirmities. Now, Paul starting, he later on starts talking about, he said, you know, in verse 11, he said, I'm become a fool in glory. In other words, Paul said, I look foolish to everybody else. Amen. He says, look, he says, therefore take pleasures in my, wait, let me back up. He said, my grace is sufficient, and most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, when we start to look at, he says that I let the power or the power of Christ, I take glory in my infirmities. He's saying, look, I got peace in this whole situation. I know that Satan come to hit me, but look, give me your best shot because you ain't knocked me down yet. I know he come to buffet me, but he ain't stopped nothing. You know how somebody try to stop something, you look around, you tell them, you ain't stopped nothing. That's the attitude we need to have in the spirit with Satan. You ain't stopped. I know you tried, but you ain't stopped. No, I'm still here. I'm still moving. I'm still progressing. Y'all still with me here? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says that in my infirmities. Now, infirmity is the word asthenia in the Greek. And what it means is feebleness of mind, feebleness, frailty, disease, infirmity, sickness, anything you could possibly be going through. He said that, look, he said, no matter what it is, Paul said, I gloried in it. What it means, the glory means I'm okay with it. I welcomed it. I'm okay with it because I know it's going to bring me to a place that nothing else can bring me to. Ah, I wish I had somebody. He said that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And if you want God's power to rest, the word power is the word dunamis, meaning the power to blow up the power. Lord, have mercy. Now, because of my pain, you know how the young folks say, I'm about to blow up. That means they about to get, you know, something good about to happen in their life. That means I'm about to, you know, they first got to get lit, then they got to get what? Blow up. I'm just trying to figure it all out. Y'all got to help me here. I'm trying, they get lit first, you know, because it's dynamite. I'm thinking dynamite. They get lit, then they what? Blow up. Amen. Things go good for them. That's what it means. And so in other words, look at this, and if I can preach to the millennials, I'll tell them, look, if you're lit right now for Christ and you got the power of Christ, that means you got the dynamite, and that means you're going to blow up. That means it's going to go good for you. Come on and say amen. When they say blow up, it means it's going to go good. And what he's telling us, he said, the power of Christ rest upon me. It goes good for me. It goes well for me because Christ rests upon me. The word rest means to like a tent put about me. In other words, I know I got pain. I know I got infirmities. I know I got frailties and faults and stuff happened to me. But guess what? He's going to cover me. That's what that means. Hey, I wish I had somebody. He got me covered. I don't know about you, but I know my pain brings
bring some shame sometimes, but he got me covered. I know I have hard times and heartaches, but he has me covered. I know I got situations that seem like nobody don't want to fool with me because all I do is talk about my troubles, but that's all right. I'll tell them to God. I'll have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about my trouble. He'll hear my famous cry. Oh, come on, and answer by and by, and he'll cover me whenever I go through my pain and my problems and my situation. I wish I had a few people in the house that understood what I'm saying here. We need to know that the power of Christ rests upon us, and the word rest is equivalent with peace. And so therefore God gives me peace while I still got pain. God gives me peace while I'm still being pricked. God gives me peace while I'm still being hurt. God gives me peace while I'm still being punched by the enemy. God gives me peace while I'm still being wrapped constantly. I wake up in the morning, he got something. I went to bed, there's something else happened. Last week, something happened. Here it go this week. Every time I look around, something happening, but I still have the peace of God. How come do I have the peace of God? It's because I made peace with God. I wish I had somebody. He is the Prince of Peace. And if he's the Prince of Peace, we need to understand that that's the only way to get peace. The Bible says, Jesus said that the world don't give you this kind of peace. He said, I give you my peace, not as the world gives. And what does that mean? He said, the world gives you kind of peace that say, we with you and we'll fight for you. But God said, I give you the kind of peace that say, go to sleep. I got you. Come on and say, man, that's the kind of rest I got. He said, go rest yourself. Don't worry yourself about it. I already got a plan. I know my plans for you. They are prosperous. Come on and say, man, to bring you to an expected end. That's what God is saying to us. If we can just trust him and have grace and understanding of what he's about to do. Oh, I got grace to go on. Tell somebody I got grace to go on. Then he says in verse 10, our final verse, he said, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions, distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Do I have a witness here? Oh, come on and say amen. So God wanted to teach Paul to live for Christ's sake. And see, sometimes we need to learn how to live for Christ's sake. And so what did Christ come to give us? He came to give us the grace of God. He came to show us the love of God, to give us salvation. So what is grace? God's redemption at Christ's expense. Come on and say amen. And so when Paul suffered his infirmities or his weaknesses, it gave Christ the chance to infuse power to overcome his weaknesses. Come on and say amen. When you go through your trouble, when you go through your trial, it gives God an opportunity to show you how much he loves you, to show you that he is greater than your problem, to show you that he can take and turn any situation. I wish I had a few people in the house and give God some praise. Paul said, I pleasure in infirmities. In the general term, means sufferings and weaknesses. It means whether it's mental or physical or spiritual, whatever the situation. He said that I'm glorying in this thing. Come on and say amen. In reproaches. And what does reproaches mean? It means when people ridicule you and they insult you, slander you, rumors they spread, or whatever it is that they try to mess you up with. And so Paul said, look, I go through it just like you do. I get lied on. I get talked about. I'll come on and say amen in here. Paul said, he said in necessities, he said, I got hardships. Sometimes I got more month than month. Come on and preach in here with me. He said, I got needs sometime. And sometime I'm deprived of some things. Sometime I get hungry. Sometime I ain't got nowhere to lay my head. But I thank God for his grace. Somebody shout glory in the house. Shout hallelujah. He said, sometime I don't have nothing to clothe myself. Matter of fact, he wrote, he said, tell him to bring my cloak. He said, because I'm getting a little chilly around here. I wish I had somebody. Paul was letting them know that sometimes, he said, I've learned to be content in whatever state that I'm in. He said, I learned to be high, but I've learned to be abased. He said, I learned to be hungry, but I also learned to be full in all that I went through. In whatever state that I'm in, I learned how to be content. that. Do I have anybody that say, I understand you, preacher? He said, I have persecutions, but I'm still glorying in persecutions. He said, in a verbal, physical attack, when somebody talk crazy to you, you got to say, I'm going on in grace. I ain't got time to mess with you, but I'm going to go on in grace. Do I have anybody? He said, in my distress, I glory in God. He said, because I'm in tight situations. That's what distresses mean. I'm in perplexities. I have disturbances in my life. I'm anxious about some things. Oh, come on and say amen. I have difficulties sometimes, but I still got grace. Do I have a witness here? So we got to understand that even though I go through these things, and some of it makes me weak, but the Bible says here, he said, when I am weak, then I become strong. In other words, I've been poked, I've been punched, I've been persecuted, but I'm still here. Do I have anybody else that say, I've been through the storm, I've been through the rain, I've been through heartaches, and I've been through pain, but I'm still here. Somebody say yes and give God some praise. Give God some glory. Do I have anybody that say, I got the grace to go on anyhow? I've been talked about. I've been mistreated. I've been done some bad things, but I'm so glad I ain't looking at that, but I'm looking at this here grace that the Lord has given me. Somebody say yes. How do you look at it? I don't look back at it, because the same Paul that said, my grace, that let us know his grace was sufficient, he said, forgetting those things which are behind me, and I'm reaching forth. Somebody say yes. You can't reach unless you got grace. Tell somebody, I've been through some stuff. I don't look like what I've been through, but look at here. I'm going on in grace. I got enough grace to move from point A to B. I ain't going to sit here and die in this thing. I'm not going to accept what the people said. I'm not going to accept what the devil said. Not even what the doctor said. But I'm going on in grace. Say yes. Tell somebody, by the grace of the Lord, I come a long way. By the grace, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, where would I be? Somebody say yes. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that I didn't make it on my power. So glad that I didn't make it on my intelligence. But if it had not been for the grace of God that he gave to me, where would I be? Somebody say yes. Give God some praise. Give God some glory. Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Won't he give you grace when things ain't going right? Won't he give you grace when you're up crying all night? Won't he give you grace when you say, I don't know how? God say, let me show you how. Somebody say grace. Say grace. It's the grace of God. The Bible says he gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. I came to let you know that your thorn in the flesh came to get you down to a place of humility, so God can give you grace. God said, I don't want to fight with you. I just want to give you grace. Somebody say yeah. Shout yeah. Is the Lord all right? I say, is the Lord all right? Won't he keep you when you don't want to be kept? Won't he open doors that's closed in your face? I say, won't he do it? Say, won't he do it? Say, yeah. Tell your neighbor, Jesus died to give you grace, but he rose to give you more grace. Grace to be a son of God. Grace to be healed. grace to be delivered? Say yes. Say yeah. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Yeah.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr.